And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, and we talk Lions season-ending football. Hello, Mike O'Hara.
Hello, Ken Brown. It's finally over. Finally.
You know, I get a lot of letters, Mike, from the fans that listen to our podcast, both of them who are out there, but they were asking why we don't have music anymore. I used to have a nice little bed that we come in with. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, since it's the last podcast, I can tell, that copyright infringement has been going on. So now we don't get the free music anymore for these stations and unless you pay these big exorbitant fees for music. So that's why the music has been cut out. The quality of the product has not been cut out, but the music has until all that settles. So all those 70 artists who are out there that want their share of royalties for money that we're not making, I don't know where they think that their songs are being played and we're making money off of them. But anyway, that's the reason why.
Well, thanks for telling the IRS that we're not making any money. They'll never figure it out.
They'll never figure it out on their own. All right, Michael here.
Those people out there, they better not start playing our podcast at their concerts either. Okay?
That's right. Exactly right. If I come in the dressing room and before they get high and go out on stage, they're listening to the K&M podcast, I'm cutting them down. Suit. Lawsuit. All right, Mike.
This means you, UT.
As you can see, I got my fever back now. I got my excitement back because the season, this woefully long season ended. And I will confess today, Ken Brown confession time. I will confess, Mike, I was not a big fan of a 17-week season, but that 17th week was the most exciting week of football I've seen in years.
It really was. You know, I don't know if it was more exciting than the last game of a 16-week season, but you make a good point. And you know what? When it gets down to the end, there's always something going on. I mean, who would have thought that the Colts would lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars and miss the playoffs? Who thought that after the head coach went to bed, that the Steelers would sneak in? Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Someone said he went to sleep, believe him.
And I'm telling you right now, that last game between Oakland and the Oakland, Las Vegas, and the L.A. See, I would, under normal circumstances, I would have said San Diego and Oakland. But this L.A. against Las Vegas, which is weird to say. But anyway, that game, man, goodness sakes. What a game. It just makes me madder with that Jeff Okuda pick every time I see Justin Herbert. But I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let it go because I'm a man of peace today. Ken Brown, man of peace.
Well, we'll see, you know. The last time I checked, Okuda and Herbert had something in common.
What's that?
Watching the playoffs on TV.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. At least one of them played this year, though. But anyway.
Did you get all that? Yeah, right. He played his team right out of the playoffs.
Mike,
you know, he had that tag there, and you know what I mean?
I think the Lions should hire back the former GM, Bob Quinn, just to fire him again for that pick. I think she's hiring back every 6 months and fire him again just for that pick.
Well, but the reality is that we have no idea how good or bad Okuda is because he hasn't had a chance.
No, even if it becomes a Pro Bowler to me, I'm saying position picking. We're going to get to that, too. When you got a top three or four pick, man, there are some positions you just are worth more than others. But we'll get to that.
So we're gonna flog this one to death?
No, we're not going to flog it to death. Look, it's the Lions season is over. We're not flogging it to death. The reason why we're doing the podcast this week today late is because we wanted to wait until GM Holmes and Dan Campbell did their season-ending press conferences, which we got in to get information so we can feed it to you. Michael Herr was present in both of them. I listened to both of them. I was not present because I actually had to work, unfortunately. But I did listen enough and get the information. First of all, Mike, just give an end of the last game of the season, beating Green Bay, which I told you guys, and I tell you on this podcast all the time, I hate Green Bay so much that I would give up a number one pick in order for them to beat Green Bay, and that's exactly what happened because if they would have lost, the Lions would have lost, they would have had the number one pick. But I'm cool with it, and I'm fine with it. I don't know where you fall in on that, but your thoughts on the last game.
Well, first of all, I fall where I have for every time you've asked me to play to win. There was almost no situation where I would play to lose. It's just not me, and I think you know what I really saw, Kenny, seriously, in both Jacksonville winning and the Lions winning, integrity of competition. They played to win. And I don't think you can – when you've got that in sports at the highest level or at any level, I think it's good for the sport. Integrity of competition.
Yeah. And even more than that,
yeah, go ahead.
You're such a wise man, I'm going to give you credit. because I didn't know the statistic last week. Going out of a season with a three-game home winning streak is worth more than that pick, especially for a team that won like two games at home the last couple of years.
Well, I think they won either two or three games combined out of 16 games at home.
Yeah,
this team went out and won its last three home games. Now they weren't, you know, week 15, 16, and 17, or I'm sorry, 16, 17, and 18. But the last three times they played at Ford Field, they sent their fans home cheering.
Exactly,
that's pretty good. That's pretty cool.
And that's how you set up.
Exactly, those weren't exactly cellar dwellers that they played.
Right. But that's how you set up a winning organization. You got to protect home first. And when you start winning at home, there was a one-eyed year where they won more road games than home games, but that was just an anomaly. You got to protect home. And when you know a team is getting good, they start winning. Well, now with extra game, it would be seven games at home, you know, six games at home, eight games at home. That's when you know a team is good. Even forget about the road part. You start protecting home, and that's what I think this team is starting to do now. Think about this. The Baltimore kick, that would have been four home games. Just take away that thing. They'd have won four home games this year.
Of all the games that you can make a case for all the games the Lions lost, but that is the one in particular when you consider the fact that it's the longest kick in the history of the National Football League, and it didn't even get over the crossbar on its own. It hit the crossbar, and those pebbles must have been up, you know, just lined up.
Hello?
I don't know how for that ball to sneak over the crossbar. Yeah.
And plus, they should have been 10 yards back anyway, 5 yards back more anyway, because of the play before it never should have got off. There was definitely the clock.
And another thing too, the Lions also won a couple of games against the NFC North, and they've been skunked in that one before.
Right.
So you know, it's okay. We're looking at a lot of positives in a 3-13 one season. I just think this. I said this at the beginning of the season in my first Monday countdown column for DetroitLions.com, that I wouldn't judge the Lions season on wins and losses. I'll look, it would have been great if they won a lot of games, don't get me wrong. But I would judge it on whether they got better throughout the season, and I think they were better at the end than they were at the beginning.
What'd you have them with at the beginning of the year? What was your prediction?
I don't know if I made a one-loss prediction, but what I did say to some people who asked me about the betting line and the over-under and all that, I said, do not go above 4.5 wins for the Lions.
Yeah.
Because they cannot get more than five. There's no way you're going to make money.
Yeah.
You're risking it. That was my stand on that.
They ended up pretty much where I thought, four or five wins. I had them four.
I thought they were three, four, or five wins.
Yeah.
I really did.
And they could have won four, maybe.
Could have, yeah. Yeah, and if they didn't have had a real kicker against Pittsburgh, they would have had a tie. They would have had a win.
Sure. So there were a couple games they could have won.
That's part of personnel plays a role in it, too.
Yeah.
You can only send out who they give you to play.
Yeah. Now, my synopsis on the Green Bay game was Dan Campbell has grown as a play caller. I'm not sure yet if I want him to come back next year and be the play caller, but if he is, I can't argue with it right now because he showed improvement over the year doing it. And he looked at the end of the year, the offense looked like any other offensive coordinator we've had. It's not like I could tell, oh, that's a rookie coordinator calling. So if he wants to call next year, it's on him. You know, it's his job on the line. It's his reputation on the line. If he feels good with it, I'm fine. Whatever he wants to do, I'm fine with that.
Well, let me ask you this, though. The fact that Jared Goff is so comfortable with it, but he's also comfortable with an assistant coach out that a lot of people don't know, Ben Johnson. Tight ends coach, and he's taken a bigger role throughout the season. But if Jared Goff is comfortable with the head coach calling the plays, why change it?
Yeah, well, I discount anything
why
Jared Goff says.
Why give him another voice to listen to?
Yeah, but I discount anything he said. He's going to go if they wanted Aaron Glenn to call off his plays, he'd be all right with it because that's just the type of guy he is.
But obviously he preferred. There was a connection there. He played better after he took over the play calling.
Right, but he never dogged Anthony Lynn. I'm just saying he's not going to say a bad word about whoever calls it. And at the end of the year, they asked him, does he want the coach to call plays? He said, it's not up to me and whatever he wants to do, or that's not my job to say. So he still was non-committal on it.
That's the same thing Brad Holmes said yesterday. He said if Dan wants to call plays, call plays.
Yeah,
call plays. If that's what he wants to do.
Now, one thing, Brad Holmes. Well, let me finish with the Green Bay thing. I I thought even when the first half when Aaron Rodgers played, the Lions played them tat for tat. I just thought that I'm not saying they're as good as Green Bay or whatever, but I just thought that when the first teams were in there for this one game, for that one half, they played an equal half. It was 17-14, I think, at halftime or something like that. I know they were winning.
Right.
So it was just an equal half of football, and I think that shows you improvements over the years because in the first game they were 17-7. I think they were winning the first game against Green Bay. They were winning at the half. That was
17-14
yeah.
at halftime.
So, you know, these things happen. I just feel I saw a lot of – and this is where I'm going to get to Brad Holmes, one thing he said. I saw a lot of young players grow up over this year, and Brad Holmes said yesterday – that he could have went out and signed some veterans like the Houston Texans did. They signed a lot of, like, Merciless and these older guys on these right. one-year deals. That's not going to really help you down the road in the long run. They got young players playing time, and young players got better. And I think that's the one thing Holmes said. He made a specific reference to Barnes about a couple years ago. Barnes, or beginning of the season, Barnes wouldn't have recognized this play, and at the end of the year,
right.
he recognized that's even though he didn't make the play.
That was the play, the touchdown pass that the got behind him.
Right.
Right, I noticed that too. Derek Barnes is not real. That's not his forte, pass coverage. It really isn't. He's more of a run thumper, I think, than anything else. But at least he recognized the play. He was in the end zone when they took the picture, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And he made a leaping stab for it. He just missed it, but it was close. It wasn't like he was 7 yards behind him. So, like you said, these are...
all due respect, it was a touchdown.
Well, I was about to say, at least he was there. And look, let's not get on the Derek Barnes for the Hall of Fame yet, bandwagon. These are developmental players. He may become a starter one day. He may become a depth guy. But I'm going to tell you right now, those are guys you need to fill teams up with. You know, guys that can step in for a starter if he's not a starter. Those guys you can put in and he can, you know, keep the play going. So, no matter what he becomes, he's a fifth-round pick, Mike?
Fourth-round pick.
Who's going to help your team.
He was taking one pick after they got Amon Ra.
Right. So, he's a guy that can help your team. And these are the guys you fill your roster with. Now, your task is to bring difference makers in. That is the task that you need. And Brad Holmes needs to go forward.
No, I would agree with that. I think they need one or two wide receivers. They really do. Guys who can beat you without trick plays, but would just line up, and all of a sudden you got to double a guy or whatever defensively. You got to make a choice, and he can beat you anyway. And that they really, I don't think, have that. Even with, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't think that's his game.
No,
he's very, very. He plays a strong, strong game. I think I really do. He doesn't seem to wear down. He can play a high snap count and be just as good at the end of the game as he is at the beginning. And I think they've really got something there. But they really need, like I would think, a true number one receiver.
Yeah, he's a good number two, and he'll be a good number two, and he could be a number one for a week or two if your number one goes out. But you, like you say, you want somebody in there that, like, will show the fear in D-backs when they come in. And I think they should draft one and get one in free agency. I think that's the way you get your two. I don't think you should do both.
Well, I think that's the ideal. I wouldn't take one unless there's one there that's worthy of being taken.
Yeah, there's always receivers there, though. I'm saying, I'm not saying first rounder. I'm just saying draft one and sign one. Have one that's already played in the league and then get a young guy.
Maybe they can get Kenny Galladay back on a discount.
Yeah, because he scored so many touchdowns this year. What was the total number of touchdowns again this year? Zero.
Let's see.
Zero. Zero.
Yeah, that's right. Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Man.
Just 2 years ago, he led the league with 11 touchdown catches. Who was the quarterback? The guy who never made anybody better?
Yeah, Matt somebody. Yeah. I forgot he's been gone. They had a statistic. They put up Amon St. Brown's last 5 games. And Galladay's full season. And I remember St. Brown's last 5 games were better than Galladay's whole season.
Well, he got hurt a little bit, too, but he was hurt last
year
in the Giants.
He's hurt every year.
I'm really surprised. Well, not every year.
Wasn't he hurt every year, Mike?
No.
I didn't say he missed a lot of games, but he was hurt. He had hamstring problems 1 year. He was the back last year.
Nobody in the NFL is playing at 100%.
I know, but I'm just saying he's a big guy and he gets banged up. I'm not saying – I'm just – look, that's their problem. I don't want to talk about Kenny Goddard. He left. He's gone. Give us our comp pick for the third round. That's all I care about.
If they get one.
They'll get one for him because of the money they signed him. They will get a comp pick. I will bet you right now. I know we'll see. I'll bet you right – between Marvin Jones and him, you're going to get a comp pick. You're going to get a third round pick. Marvin Jones had a good year too.
He really had 73 catches and 7 in the last game of the season.
And no, matter of fact, they might get more than a third round pick. I forgot about that. They lost two big players.
No, you can't get more.
Yes, you can.
You mean multiple
players. Yeah, multiple picks, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't get a higher than
not higher. I'm just saying you might get more than just a third round pick, though. You might get a couple of picks.
Right, which really the National Football League doesn't like to hear this, but you're really getting a fourth round pick.
Which is fine.
Because it's at the end of
right.
the third round.
Right, which is fine. But the thing I like now is you can trade those picks. Before you couldn't trade, you had to just take them.
Yeah,
now you can load them up and move up spots, and they're worth something now. Anyway, I'll let you go back to anything Holmes said that piqued your interest, or where do you think they're going?
I just thought he was generally very upbeat and very reflective on his own situation, on the things they did. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a blood and guts press conference. I think guys were there. People, the guys who covered it were there really to listen to see what he had to say about the season, about his performance, the personnel department's performance. I thought it came off well. I really did. I think he talked about Penei Sewell being what they thought he was going to be, and Amon Ra being what they thought he was going to be. And you know what? Turns out that I think. Brad Holmes was what we thought he was going to be, too. So, all around, that was pretty good.
I wish I was there because, I'm the one that needs to ask questions. Besides your questions, Mike, the other questions are just – some of them are just ridiculous.
No, they're fine.
Some are ridiculous. But I want to know – nobody brought this up. First year of the organization is over now. How did the hierarchy of the front office work this year, in his opinion? The Chris Spielman entry into it? What was the guy that came from Green Bay? I'm from Cleveland's name, John.
John Dorsey.
What did he do? How did you draw lines with this? You being a first guy, I wanted to know more about the way he went through it this year with a new organization. What he streamlined, what he thinks they need to do, what they didn't have,
He sort of answered that without it being personal when somebody asked him. Where they stand now, and he said how much further they are ahead now than they were in February of a year ago. So I think he sort of, in a way, alluded to that with his answer.
I tell you one thing he did say that I was impressed with. He loves Dan Campbell. I mean, if anybody thought, because he didn't – I don't know how it worked, but I don't think he hired Dan Campbell. I think Campbell came.
I think they asked him would he okay that, and I think basically he gave it his blessing.
Right.
I don't know if he had any choice.
Right.
I really don't know. And you know what? We may never know that.
Well, we know he didn't sit in on the interviews with Campbell because he wasn't there yet.
No,
then.
Right. I think they asked him would he be okay.
Yeah, probably that. Yeah, but I'm just saying.
His alternative was to not take the job. Probably,
right. But my thing is,
he would do that.
The way he talks about him, it was like he hired him. That's how good these two get along. So I'm happy to see
really
that.
Do.
They really do. And he said one thing about Campbell. He said some guys have it and some guys don't. And you can't teach it.
He has it.
And he has it. That's the one line I got out of that. I'm very excited about. Now, a couple of things he said I do have some problems with. Well, I know he can't say it, but they asked him about Trey Flowers. And I love, and I'm telling you right now, Trey Flowers is a great guy. The years we had the Lions, he was one of the best guys to talk to. Nice guy, did everything he could, played as hard as he could, as long as he could. But it's no way in the world he lived up to that contract. And now it's time. I don't even see the fit of the defense with him anymore. And I just think he's not going to be there next year. But I know you can't go ahead and say it, but I think. Of all the people I've seen years where Stafford got dogged for his contract, everybody's being dogged for their money. Trey Flowers didn't take the heat for that, and he was a highly paid guy.
Well, $96 million or whatever?
Yeah.
50-something guaranteed. But that's different than being a quarterback because he doesn't play every down and all that. And I think the fact, in reality, you can't criticize a guy for getting hurt. It's not like he did it on purpose. Did it work out? No, it did not work out. He had that one season where he had 8 quarterback sacks, and really when he's playing, and he's, you know, when he's healthy, he can play for a stretch of games. He's a good player.
Good player.
But he's not a great player.
Exactly.
He's a good player.
Good player. Not a great
right,
player.
Yeah.
And it was never going to live up to that contract.
The only issue with him was the contract too rich.
Right.
And probably was.
Yeah. And he was one. He was an old regime guy and in a defense that they're not playing now. I just think that the breakup is coming unless he cuts his number down. He's got a cap number of 23.239 for next year in 23, and that's just not going
to
do it.
A post
June 1st cut is only for $7 million in dead money. So,
to me, the point is, can he play for you? It starts with that. Then after that, if the answer is yes, find a way to do it. If the answer is no, find a way to undo it. That's all.
Right.
To me, the idea is, can he help your team? The rest of it, I don't care about.
You should care, Mike. If you got a $23 million cap number, you're only getting 7 games out of a guy every year, then that's a problem.
Said,
yeah, well, that's a problem. That's a problem.
I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. This is selective hearing. I said, if he can help your team, find a way to do it. If he can't, find a way to undo it.
Right.
That's what I said.
Okay, but do you mean 7 games is helping your team? No, if he helps your team in 7 games, is that worth it?
Nobody goes into the season thinking, oh, he's only going to play 7 games. He's either going to be healthy or he isn't. Then you'll see what happens as the season goes on, and you know it.
Mm-hmm. Couple other guys.
Move on, counselor.
Look, I know you're not going to say it. A couple other guys who I think decisions need to be made on that are high cap guys that you're going to have to worry about. And also, there's one guy, are you going to renew his 5th year option? And that's the tight end Hockenson.
Of course you will.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, I hear all this great Hockenson talk, and like I said, we had him on. I think he's a good guy and a good player, but is he that up echelon tight end where we've been waiting for?
Well, he made the Pro Bowl one year, the year he stayed healthy.
I'm not talking about Pro Bowl. I'm talking about upper echelon in the league tight ends.
There's some sort of Ken Brown's system of ranking players.
Look, there are guys that
you have.
Just because you make a Pro Bowl doesn't mean that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm just asking.
Nobody said that.
Okay, well, I'm just asking. You have a decision to make on. You have a decision to make on that. If is he worth?
I think it's an easy decision. You know what I think he can do? He can also extend his contract before that.
Could
and avoid all that.
He could. We'll see how that works. Big V has a big cap number because when you signed him, the last regime signed him to be a right tackle, and he ended up playing guard. I don't know if they want to pay that much for a guard. They're really deep on the offensive line at some positions. They got a lot of backups now who have played starters minutes this year because of injury. They're ready to go. You got Taylor Decker to think about. Are you happy going in? I wouldn't touch the offensive line personally, and I was one that wanted to move Decker earlier, and he was probably yelling at me. I was one of the ones saying he should be traded, but since they didn't, I'm like, keep him. But those are decisions over the years you're going to make too, because I'm telling you right now, Penny Sewell eventually is going to be the left tackle of this team.
So
is it going to be 1 year, 4 years, 5 years? When is it going to be? But it's coming. Because he's the best player. He's the best player on that. Well, it does matter. Because I want somebody protecting a quarterback's blind side.
It matters when they do it.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
It's not like the Lions quarterbacks are getting overrun from the breakdowns at left tackle or breakdowns at right tackle. No, it wasn't. They're doing fine.
Yeah, we got to make it through a full season, though, too.
Well, they did. They played all 17
games. I'm not talking about Penny Sewell. And Penny didn't play all 17. He didn't play the Green Bay game. But I'm just saying, on the other side, you can't be moving them back and forth. Decker's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, he does. Correct.
Yeah, he definitely has to stay healthy. The team also, for the third time since I can remember in the last few years, it's probably been more than that, is going to coach the Senior Bowl, which means that's an honor and it's also a distinction that your team is lousy, record-wise. So they're going to be – this is the third year. I know Schwartz did it 1 year. Patricia did it 2 years ago, I believe. And now you're going to have Dan Campbell doing
it.
Well, you're right, back in Morningwood. But the best part about it this year, Mike, is that the coach is going to be like a he's going to be like a GM, basically, and you're going to have your staff do the coaching. I don't know how that works out.
Well, in any practice, and that's just the way practice is, too. The running backs coach the running backs, wide receivers.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know how that's going to work out for the game itself. Is he going to be like – they're going to make these guys, him and Salah, they're going to be, you know, in the booth, and they're going to have the guys on the field running. Because if a head coach is on the field, people are going to look to him anyway, regardless of what he's doing. So I don't know how this is actually going to work out.
Well, the truth of that, though, the Senior Bowl, the game is the least important part of the week. The most important part of the practice is when you can set up the drills to put guys in one-on-ones and all of that. So that's, you know what, that's TV, and it's window dressing, and it's cool and all that. But it means very, very little, very little.
True.
Game day.
But it does mean something to these coaches to get the experience of being a head coach, you know, for the guys that are picked. And it is something they can put on their resume. And, I mean, it means something to them. It may not mean anything to the scouts or to the fans, but it means something to somebody.
It means a little, okay? It means a little.
Okay. Look at the hater. Mike the hater.
I'm not the hater. I'm just telling you what it is.
They've never done it before, so how do you know what it means? This is the first time they're doing it.
No, but I know what practices. I know what happens in practice.
I know, but we're talking about the way they're going to set. We don't even know how this is going to be set up. Like I said, this is the first time doing it. I really want to see how they are going to make this work.
Oh, Kenny, you're such a sucker for drama.
Look at you.
Which isn't a bad thing, by the
way. Look at you. Okay, so we got the Lions. The Green Bay thing, we've had our thoughts on. Any thoughts, season-ending thoughts for you, Michael, on this long – and I want the statistics to come out about how injuries occurred. Was it more injuries per, you know, on the average per game this year because of a 17 game? I want to see when those statistics come out to see what is the wear and tear.
I think that'd be a good project for you. Here's the thing I wonder, and I think I probably know the answer. We talk about momentum, carrying momentum into the next season. I don't think momentum carries over at all. I think performance does. What is the impact of the Detroit Lions winning their last game against Green Bay? I say you probably can't really count on it meaning anything, other than the fact is that it was a home game, it was a division team, and you're finally getting, you know, finally doing something you're supposed to do, win at home and beat division teams. But I don't think it guarantees anything. I don't think the Lions are going to jump ahead of the Green Bay Packers because of it. But I do think, and there's something we haven't even mentioned, and I think that it's very real. When you look at the makeup now of the NFC North, Chicago Bears in disarray, Minnesota Vikings, same thing, changing coaches, changing general managers in both cases, maybe a shakeup in both places at quarterback. I mean, who knows what the Bears are going to do with their triumvirate, and who knows if Kirk Cousins is, you know, in favor still in Minnesota. But I think the Detroit Lions, by what's happening to the other two teams, now I'm not counting the Packers, but the other two teams, Minnesota and Chicago, I think they're in a stronger position in terms of competing in the NFC North than they were 5 days ago.
Well, you got to be careful with that, Mike. I'm going to go back to the 90s, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to do a research, and this is me talking off the top of my head. I do remember this. When the Lions, after 91, I think it was after 91, it looked like the Lions were going to control that division.
Right.
Minnesota was changing coaches, and I believe Green Bay changed the Holmgren then, too. Holmgren wasn't there in 91, right? Wasn't it after that he
92.
Came?
92.
Holmgren came, Denny Green came. And everybody thought, well, this is the Lions' chance. Two of the three coaches have changed. Two of the other four have changed head coaches, and the other team is waddling right now. This will happen. Those two new coaches ended up surpassing the Lions. So you got to be careful with that.
Wait a second. No, they lost their offensive linemen through.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, no, organizational changes happened. Two new coaches came into the division, and it didn't happen for the Lions that they dominated division for the next 5 years. It just didn't happen. So even though you got coming in now.
Kenny, I think you're selling them short. I really do, because 93 – they won the division championship.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying for the next 5 or 6 years, you would think they would have been the dominant team. They were a good team, and they were up there, up and down, but they didn't dominate because the two new teams, they got good right away. Green Bay got good right away, and Minnesota got good right away.
The dominant team was the Green Bay Packers, and the next team for the next 5 years was the Detroit Lions, who made the playoffs in 93, 94, 95 and 97.
Right,
nobody else did that except the Packers.
But then the Minnesota came in with the Chris Carters and those guys, and Denny Green had good teams. I'm not making a point that the Lions were terrible. I'm just making a point of, even though two teams change coaches, doesn't mean they're going to stay down long. That's my point.
I think the Lions are second in the pecking order, and the Bears and the Vikings were next.
Those out in the radio listening audience hearing this, they understand what I'm saying. Mike refuses to understand what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, and I'm going to repeat this one last time, just because you change head coaches doesn't mean you're going to have a down period. That's what I'm saying. So you gotta take care of your business. That's what I'm saying.
You can strike gold like the New York Giants have done.
All right.
Change coaches three times in 6 years, and they lost with all of them.
All right.
Now, here's one other thing too. What did Dan Brad Holmes say about Amon Ross St. Brown? He's better than gold. Is that what he said?
Dan Campbell said that.
Dan Campbell said that.
Yeah,
okay.
He said he's better than gold,
stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Better
than gold.
Yes. You know, I turned Dan Campbell off when that whistle went off at the end of the game. That's when I turned him off until next year. I'd rather have a gold, but he's a good player. Give me the gold.
Well, are you one of those guys who has those gold teeth?
Yes, I'm getting a couple. I'm getting a grill. I'm getting a nice. It's called a grill. I'm getting a grill. A Detroit Lions grill.
I didn't know you still lived in Detroit.
I'm going to tell you what. I saw, you know what, Swift now, and he ran for the last touchdown, but he ran all the way down to Indianapolis. He was at the game, Georgia-Alabama game. Did you see him?
Who was that?
Swift.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was hugging the coach.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Boy, no, when he ran for the last touchdown, he ran straight to Indy after that.
Hey, you know what? Hey, what a run that was. You saw that kid's talent there on that play. He just exploded around the left.
Since you brought him up, I'm glad I brought that up, because then we can just talk about this. Where do you see him as?
I see him as a really, really good player who has issues staying healthy.
You see him as a Darren Sproles, or do you see him more of a the guy from New Orleans Saints? What's his name? The running back. My name slips me at the minute. What's the New Orleans Saints guy, that third round pick? Alan Kamara.
Alan Kamara.
Do you see him more like that, or do you see him more like a specialty back? Because he's 2 years, and he hasn't stayed healthy for 2 years.
I don't think he quite has the power of Kamara. Kamara's a bigger guy, you know, a little stronger guy. I don't know what they weigh in at, but he just looks bigger frame and all that. And he's done it. As much as we like Swift, he hasn't done it. He's shown ability. Just hasn't shown the staying power.
He's got to have a staying power. But I tell you what, though.
But I do think that whole running back room they have is pretty good. It really is.
Yeah, and you put him on.
Let's give Jamal Williams a little credit.
When he's on the field, when he's on the field, and when they get a real number one receiver, Amon St. Brown and him on the field together with Hockenson and the offensive line they got, I mean, that offense, like, the offense is only a piece, to me, a piece away if everybody's healthy.
Look, they can take everybody they had this year and take them into next year, and they'll have one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League.
Yeah, but I'm talking about as an offensive whole. You put a number one receiver on that offense with everything else you had this year, no other changes.
And I'll tell you what, you have brought us to the question of the not only the day, not the week, not the month, maybe not the season, maybe of the decade. And that is simply this, my good man. Is Jared Goff the Detroit Lions quarterback of the present and future?
You asking a question, or you want to just let it lay out there for a while? Because I'm going to give you the answer.
You give me your opinion. You don't have the answer.
My opinion is he's the quarterback for next year. But I would
agree with you. I think you're right. I think he's the quarterback, unquestionable, for 2022. And trending to be the quarterback for 2022 and beyond.
Well, he's got to show me something next year, because he's another one that Stafford gets ripped for what he was making and the performance he had. Jared Goff's making more than Stafford ever made here, and he's got to perform. He had a good year, good last half
good
of the year.
Year.
Good
he
last
had a good
half
year
of the year.
Overall, and a very good second half.
But I want to see a full year for the money he's making, and then I can say, okay, he can stay a while. But I'm telling you right now, we're not bringing back that clown show, why those backups that you had last year. Like I told you, the sixth most important position on the team is the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. They better draft a guy or go get a guy that can win some games if Goff is out.
For the listeners out there, Kenny Brown believes the backup quarterback is the sixth most important
position on the team. That's right.
That's ahead of the receivers.
Ahead of anybody, the other guys playing. Because if you don't have a backup, you don't have nothing. And the way things go these days, your backup is gonna be instrumental in you either winning or losing a game or two every year.
So I believe this is what you're saying, that the sixth most important player on the roster is the backup quarterback. Correct?
The sixth most important position.
Position. Okay.
Yes.
Player.
No, not let's say player, because you might have three good receivers, two good running backs. That's five players. I'm saying position wise.
Okay. So what's next? The team chaplain?
No.
The one after that. The nutritionist.
Okay. I'm gonna give you this order one time, and this is the last time I'm gonna talk about it. Quarterback, starting quarterback number one.
Yep.
Defensive end number two. Left tackle, if you're a right-handed quarterback, number three. To me, wide receiver or running back, your skill position player, number four, and the other one's five. And then after that, backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That's me. That's what I roll.
No,
that's the KB rolling.
You know what?
Well, Mike, like I said, we've done a lot this year. We're going to talk about – we didn't even talk about the draft today, and it's almost over for us. You got any quick draft thoughts? I'm so glad they didn't get the number one pick now, because when you pick second, you don't get the heat of if you made a mistake. When you got the number one pick, if you get every player available, so if he doesn't perform, it's your mistake. Draft number two, you can always say, well, I really wanted the guy that was number one if yours doesn't pan out. So that being number two is the perfect spot for them.
You know what the Detroit Lions have done with the number two pick? That it four times, and they drafted five players with it. And it was the only one who didn't pan out was Charles Rogers.
And that should be a lesson to you guys out there in radio land now. Charles Rogers, Andre Johnson, you went with the local guy because everybody liked the local guy.
Right.
Maybe you should have went with the guy that wasn't local, and we can bring that to the Hutch and Thibodeau thing here. Everybody's yelling for the local guy. Take the best guy. Don't worry about where he came from.
By the way, that was my last question for Brad Holmes yesterday when he was going off and he thanked everybody for the writers, what they'd done. You know, the beat guys are terrific in Detroit. All of those guys are. They really are. They compete hard. They're good guys and all of that. And so I just questioned for him was, well, then, Brad, which of those two pass rushers do you prefer? So I got one laugh out of it, okay?
He didn't say anything.
That's all I'm good for. I'm good for one laugh a year now.
All right, well, you got it.
Used to be
two. Yeah, well, we'll see. Well, Mike, we're going to cover this as it goes along. We'll cover the playoffs games. Just give me one team to look out for in this week's games. Don't give me every game. Just give me a team that you want to see how they play this week.
San Francisco 49ers.
I'm exactly with you. I'm exactly with you on that. I think San Francisco's got a good team.
The most disappointing team to me right now is the LA Rams. Too many holes.
But that could change from week to week. If they go on a three-game run, then it changes. Everything starts today.
Anybody can look. Right. The only team that can't make a three-game run is the teams with the bye.
That's right. So I'm with you. I think San Francisco is a team I'm looking forward to seeing. Also looking forward to seeing this Philadelphia team. I don't think they're going to beat Tampa Bay, but I just want to see, is Jalen Hurt a real quarterback or not? And I go back and forth every week on
that. I think you can do it a different way. You know, I think you can. I think, you know, this is getting off the beaten path here, but with, we're talking about that and with, one of the assistant coaches like a month or two ago about the style of quarterbacks playing now. National Football League teams now are accepting of that style of play in a quarterback, a guy who can run. You know, 15, 18, 20 years ago, no, he's just a runner. Remember Randall Cunningham?
Sure.
And they called him Crandall Runningham?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now NFL teams are accepting a player who can run like that. It's a dimension that they want, and it's a dimension that they need. That they are the guy who drops back 3-5-7 step drop, pat the ball, and throw it. Those guys are gone. Let's put it this way. They better be really, really good at it.
I hear you.
They better be really good at it.
right, Mike. That's it for the K&M podcast for this week. We'll probably resume next week and keep
next
going.
Week for sure.
We'll talk about the playoffs. We'll talk about whatever happens in Lions Land. We'll talk about the draft. We'll talk about everything that's moving on. And we'll do a bunch. We're going to have some fun this year. We're going to have some fun in this offseason to see what's going to happen with this team.
It's going to be a great offseason, Kenny Brown.
I hope you guys enjoyed us this year. Thanks for listening to the K&M podcast. Ken Brown, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com. Goodbye.